All right. So I have been indirectly intermittent fasting for like the past, I don't know how many years. Did not do it because it was trendy. I didn't even know I was intermittent fasting until people started talking about it. And I'm like, oh shit, I barely eat. But I do it not because I'm so busy or whatever. I just know that I function better when I don't have so much in my system at certain times of the day. And so that's kind of what's worked for me. But you know, a lot of people say like eat 5 meals a day, make sure you're having snacks. Like I just feel like that's a lot of consumption that doesn't work for me. But is there any specifics to people who should fast or should eat 5 times a day or not eat so many meals, like bigger meals, smaller meals? Like, is there anything
Of
that is
course,
related to your
yes,
dosha?
definitely, for sure. Just one thing about intermittent fasting. I know it's very trendy, and it's not, I'm not a big believer in it, and it's not very healthy for you. And if you do follow like the Ayurvedic system, you kind of are doing the intermittent fasting because we say your breakfast should be very light, maybe like a piece of fruit or a small cup of oatmeal or an egg, something very light. And your lunch is the one that should be your main meal. Like you sit down and you have a big meal, you know, big for you, not like this humongous meal, but where it has, you know, it has the right amount of protein, it has the right amount of carbohydrates, vegetables, and so forth. And then your dinner again should be very light. Your dinner should be, you know, if you are able to eat salads, should be the salads or the vegetable soup or a biryani or something very light, you know, like lentils, nothing heavy, nothing with dense protein. So that's what kind of the fasting of Ayurveda is when it comes to intermittent. When it comes to doshas, for example, someone like me who is a vata should never fast. You know, we need to eat. Eating is detrimental for our health. We cannot skip a meal. It's going to cause, because another quality of vata is if it's in balance, is that they're going to be more stressed and anxious, depressed. And that has to do a lot with you eating or not. When you don't eat, you will tend to get more anxiety. So you need to sit and have your meals. So I should never fast. Whereas a person like Kapha would benefit highly from weekly fast. Like pick a day, whatever day, maybe Friday is the easiest or Saturday, whatever day you pick if you're a Kapha and you fully fast, not intermittent fasting, you fully fast. You know, you want to drink water, but just from morning to evening, don't consume anything but water and tea. And Pitas cannot fast either, but they could do is called like a fruit fast, fasting. So you could have your green juices or your vegetables or just fruits, but nothing heavy. Leave the animal proteins, the heavy carbs out for that one day. Again, just one day. One day a week fasting is great for pitas and kaphas, definitely not for vata. And then another reason why intermittent fasting is not recommended, at least in the Ayurvedic world. I mean, if you just even think of it logically, you're not eating till about, let's say, 12 or 1 for some people. And then you have this small frame of eating from like 12 to 6. And this is where, you know, the Western or the modern nutrition world is calorie counting. So you're trying to consume about 2,000 calories, or depending on what you want to do, 1,500 calories, 2,500 calories in like this 5-hour period. That's really unhealthy. You're consuming way too much, way too fast. You're not going to digest it. For example, in Ayurveda, if you have your lunch, we say you need a minimum of 2 hours to pass before having even a snack. So if you're just consuming from the period of 1 to 6 or 12 to 6, so you know, you have 6 hours to eat all that food, that's just way too much to eat. So I don't ever recommend intermittent fasting. Yes, you're going to lose weight. Because it's a diet in the beginning, you're going to lose weight, but it's not something that you can maintain forever. And you have to remember, your eating style should be your lifestyle. It should be something that you should be able to maintain for as long as you are in this world.
Right. Oh my
You know, so
goodness. Yeah.
don't do it unless you need a kick. I mean, nothing is black and white, right? So if you really say, this is really going to help me kickstart my correct eating, give it a try. Maybe for a few days, like a couple of days. But I definitely would not recommend it as a lifestyle.
So
No.
Ramadan coming up is a bad idea for
So
some people.
Ramadan, it's you know,
you are consuming a lot.
But if you actually, because I never did it before. I did it one time because I wanted to prove to a friend that I could fast. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that even though I didn't eat all day, when I broke my fast, I didn't consume a lot of food.
Yeah.
What I did, you know, you would break it with a date and then you would have something small, but I was okay. Like, I wasn't consuming so much, and you're still eating very slow. So I don't...
I think it's more the cultural aspect.
It's
the same thing for me. Like, oftentimes when I fast, I usually have the date, but I do drink water during that time because I'm like, I really need the water. Yeah. Especially when I was teaching yoga, I would be like completely dehydrated. Yeah. And then once I have like the smaller bites, I'd be done. I didn't need a meal after that. But, you know, you do it because culturally everyone's around and the food smells good. And it's more of a social thing. So I think this year, God willing, as I fast, I'm going to try to make those smaller changes in terms of like doing the smaller meals, the nourishing meals, having the fruits, having the lentils.
Yeah.
Two questions that I have as we were talking about this before we wrap it up. One, I have found personally for me that I don't drink water while I eat.
Okay.
I usually drink water before and then I'll eat my food, or I'll wait a couple hours after eating and then drink my water, because I feel like it really messes with my digestion. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I see people all the time, right? Even it's a very American thing, like, oh, what'd you like with your food? People are drinking their
pop. Especially cold water, which is the worst thing you can do.
And I don't like cold water either. No, generally so a room temperature water girl. Yes. And when I used to be at the shop all the time, I used to literally refill my tea cup with just more hot water. Like, I'd use the same tea bag all day. So Ayurvedically, is there any significance in combining water and meals?
So what we suggest is for you to sip on your water between, like, while you're eating, but it should be warm water, either room temperature or warm water, and you can sip it.
But not, like, chug it.
Not chugging it, no. I mean, for me, I grew up never being able to drink. My mom was very adamant about certain things, so we never drank with our meal. And so I'm just used to that, but there's no harm in sipping either tea or warm water with your meal.
It's funny that you say that, because when I do tea with it, when I go to Persian restaurants, you know, you get the hot tea. That doesn't bother
That's
me.
That's fine.
But having like water with my meal does bother me.
It's a very different cultural thing, and we have to remember we do unfortunately live in a very consumeristic, you know, society. And you know, I've been like in Colombia when I'm there. It's a huge part of the culture to serve fruit juice with every meal. And that's like the worst thing you could do for your digestion. You don't ever want to mix fruit with food. That's just so bad for you.
Okay, so I was just going to ask, that leads me perfectly into the next question. We're so aligned. I was going to talk about food combining. Is there such thing as food combining? Like, some people say, like, like you just said, fruit and meals. I know sure for us, like, people have fruit as dessert, and I've always said, like, no, you want to have the fruit first. And I said that only from a digestive standpoint, from a health standpoint. Yeah. I don't know if Ayurveda, if it has a different view.
Yeah.
But even, you know, do you want to, like, mix some carbs or mix, you know, meats with certain vegetables? Yeah. Like, how does it work in Ayurveda?
So, again, I have two different backgrounds. I have the, you know, I have the modern nutritional background certification. I have Ayurveda. I do food combine for myself because of my colon, my irritable bowel syndrome and so forth. In Ayurveda, the things that we do not combine is very different. For example, we do not combine ghee with honey.
Okay.
For their energy. We do not combine fruits with yogurt. You know, those things you don't ever want to do. Yogurt should be something eaten on its own. Again, not for every dosha, but fruits should be definitely eaten by themselves. I know here in the United States, it's very big to put blueberries in your oatmeal or put some type of fruit in your oatmeal. That's a big no-no.
Just and have your fruit. Salad or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, another thing with you're saying with salad, salads should always be a side dish. It should never be your main dish. Salads cannot be a main dish. And then that again goes into, should we eat raw or not? And in Ayurveda, we're very anti-raw vegetables. You need to cook your vegetables for digestion. I'm not saying cook it to a point where they're mush. All you need is a minute or 30 seconds of just cooking it really quickly. But you need to cook vegetables for better digestion.
Okay, so now you led into
Well, no,
but you led into the perfect next question that I was going to ask. How your food is prepared, does that make a difference?
Yes.
Like when you said egg, for example, is the quality Ayurvedically the same of like a fried egg versus a boiled egg versus a, you know, like, does it matter?
Yes, like, for example, egg is a meal that most Kapha people cannot eat because it is heavy. But if you love your egg, I would say boil it, don't fry it. because it's going to make it heavier, you know, so you do that. But in terms of how you cook your food, definitely you want to cook it on low heat. Because you think of it this way, if you're cooking it in a really high heat, certain parts of it are cooking really rapidly, certain parts are not. It's just, it's not distributed evenly. The energy in your food, it's not properly cooked.
So like steaming vegetables would
probably steam vegetables, you can saute it, you can bake it. You could even like, I don't know if you want to fry. I mean, I'm not a big fan of fry, but you can saute it, but in low heat. So I use ghee for everything. Mm. I'm a big ghee. I mean, I eat a spoon of ghee in the mornings in my hot water. I'm a ghee person.
Wow.
It's magic for your skin and hair, but for Vata, for us, it's just very lubricating for all our system. So it's less inflammation. So it's great. And then we go, like, pita people should have coconut because it's cooling, and kapha people should have sunflower. I mean, there's just There's so many different things. But, yeah, the way you cook your food and prepare it is really important, and that also plays in the role of, should I freeze my food? You don't really want it to go from, like, solid to liquid. You just want to keep it in one state because you want to consume food as fresh as possible. I know in today's lifestyle it's not as practical or realistic, but that's our mini goal, to aim for eating as fresh as possible.
And I honestly feel like when I think about it, it's really not that complicated to have like a protein and a carb and whatever to cook.
Honestly, it's not. You know? I think we make it complicated. Yeah. I have friends who are just like, you're Betty Crocker. I don't know how you do it. And I make sure that I don't spend more than 30 minutes when I'm cooking. Everything I cook, whether it's Persian food or non-Persian food, it's within 30 minutes.
Do you like prep, like saute them or make some grains and put them away in the fridge and use them?
I normally don't, because then again, it's not fresh, right? And I love my air fryer. Air fryers are amazing things, and you know, you can use that. But no, I prepare everything. And you know, it's like an art form. Once you start doing it, you know what you need and you get used to it. And literally, if I'm having a big party, 1 hour cooking. But if it's just for me and my family, anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes and I'm done.
Simple is perfection.
Very
right?
simple.
Yeah. And last question about this before we move on. Spices, salt, pepper, turmeric, like all of these, they are also specific to dosha?
They are specific to doshas. We try to consume all six tastes in Ayurveda, which is sweet, salty, sour, bitter, astringent, and pungent. And certain spices or taste will aggravate one dosha and will pacify the other. But if you're having it in a balanced form, then you're good to go. But let's say, for example, if you are a pita person and you love your ginger or you love your cinnamon, these are all very heating spices. So you need to kind of maybe balance it with some cooling spices, such as coriander. I'm trying to think what else really quick. I'm such a Vata person. I'm always focusing on heating, but I have to think about that. But yeah, like coriander for me is great. And then you have some spices that are tridosha, which is great for all of them, such as cardamom, cumin, turmeric. These will not aggravate because they're pacifying. In Ayurveda, there are a lot of fruits, vegetables, foods that are tridoshic. Okay. And ghee is one of them.
Okay, what's a good fruit for everyone? Oh, I'm just curious because when I did food sensitivity testing for like in my clinic, as weird as everyone said an apple a day keeps the doctor away, I had a lot of children that were sensitive to apples.
So here's the thing. I'm not a big believer of the sensitivity tests because it just depends on what you have had eaten the day before, because they take so many things into account. But when it comes to fruit, you want to just eat ripe fruit. Right. So if they're sensitive to apples, they're probably eating green apples, you know, or it's not ripe enough. Or when you're eating your banana, you want to make sure it's ripe. I mean, I'm not saying it's bruised and brown and smushy, but you want it ripe. Or like, for example, if I'm in December and I'm craving a watermelon, too bad, I'm not going to eat it because it's not watermelon season. So you are going to get an inflammation, you know?
Right, and things that make such a difference. And because everything is so accessible to us, we don't even think about it.
Growing up, I didn't grow up in the States in my like...
So you got fruit when
so my mom would be like, I'm so sorry, I know you want strawberry, but we got to wait till summer. Or peach, oh, it's summertime, let's eat peach, you know? And now we're just so lucky
we can get it whenever we want.
But it's not good either. It's one thing like to say I'm craving strawberry and you just go pick it for one day. But to have your strawberry smoothie every day in winter is just probably not the best thing to do.
Okay.